Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and it is Halloween is the day that we're doing this program. It's a live program, but if you're watching on the NRB network, it wouldn't be live. Joining me today, Alice Benton and Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be with you both.
All right. So I want to say this right off the bat. Let's talk about Halloween. When I was growing up, Halloween was all about candy. I didn't know anything evil with it. And absolutely, there are some people that have taken it to an extreme, but it was all about kids. And so people have said to me, you know, do you celebrate Halloween? Absolutely not. But we do go around and beg people to put candy into our little bags and stuff. So we do that. And it's all about fun, and it's not about death or dying or anything like that. And you know, it started out, it was a holy holiday, and then switched and twisted. But I just want to say this. If you've got a major campaign against Halloween, and you haven't noticed that there is so much more in this world that needs to be addressed that is so bad, you know, don't miss that. I mean, this is a once-a-year thing where kids go get a bunch of candy, but man, we've got a troubling and troubled world, and we see it every day here in the heartland, on the West Coast, East Coast. And let's just pray on this day. Let's turn this into something great on a day that, you know, kind of weird, strange, dark side of life comes out. Let's turn in something good. Let's pray. Lord, hold back the evil as you've done and protect us, Lord, and help us. But also keep the children safe as they go out and have some fun. I remember, you know, Solomon dressed up as Elmo. And when I told him we're going to go around the neighborhood and just fill that Elmo head with candy, it was his brain almost exploded because his whole life was about candy. And you know, everything after we went through it all, everything in that bucket was good. He could eat it. It was candy eating night. And I've always related that to, ironically, to sex inside of marriage. You know, inside the bucket of God's great gift of sexual intimacy, there's so many things that are okay. Stay inside that bucket and there's freedom. Get outside that bucket and the consequences are, in every case, they really are soul deteriorating. I'll just put it that way. So let's use Halloween as a great excuse to pray against the darkness of the world. If you've got kids, maybe it's okay with you for them to go around and trick-or-treat and have some fun. Maybe they go to a harvest festival or something and have fun. But make it about the kids. And we don't want to lay onto a five-year-old child all of our darkness and worries and things like that. I love it when people have other things to do than, you know, just go to a Halloween thing. They've got the harvest festivals and things like that.
Well, you know, and it's so funny, Steve, because I grew up and I've got a memory of my dad sitting down next to my candy bag and inspecting the candy, which I think is a good idea, but he would somehow end up with the biggest candy bar in my bag every time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you want to join us on the program, our Halloween program. You don't have to dress up or anything. You just call us at 1-800-229-3000. For 3 hours, we're going to be here, and we're going to talk with you. We love you. We care about you. We want to help you. 1-800-229-3000.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We usually ask for support at another time during the program. We'll start right off, and then the rest of the program will be all about the phone calls. Larry Sonnenberg is here. We're broadcasting last day of the month. Need a little bit of help there on our last day. Hope you can come through. And Club New Life is always that sustaining foundation of New Life. Larry, you've got a note, and you read it to me, and I loved it. It's kind of what we're all about.
It's why we do what we do and why we ask for your support. And here's what this lady wrote to us. Please accept this gift in honor of the fifth anniversary of Mike's attendance at Every Man's Battle. And she gives the date he attended in 2013. The experience was life-changing, and we are forever grateful. And she signs off, and she sent a nice check. She sent us $200.
Wow.
So, that's what we're talking
that's
about.
That's gratitude. Now. That's paying it forward for what happened.
And think of the life change. And, you know, I'm appealing to you folks out there whose lives have been affected. And if you haven't made a gift, and this is honoring whatever it is that's changed in your life, you know, it's an honor to God to say thank you and give back, and you can do it through New Life.
Well,
that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And so if you've got a story like that, could you follow her example maybe and support us? But let me just mention something. There is no problem. I don't think there's any problem more difficult to deal with than pornography. If you were an alcoholic and somebody came to your desk every 10 minutes and said, would you like some vodka? That's kind of the way it is with the internet and pornography. And here's a guy, she's saying, hey, thanks that he went to your workshop. He's, you know, 5 days, it's great. No, 5 years, she's saying. Five years she's honoring this different man, and we hear it all the time. So maybe you've got a story like that, and in honor of somebody that changed their life, you could support us. But also, what about you being the next person to sign up for Every Man's Battle? Or, ladies, most of the calls, 75% of the call, the woman calls, gets a little information, and says to him, call. And then he goes. And our next one, Every Man's Battle, what is it, this weekend?
This weekend.
Weekend.
Right here in Orange County.
In Orange County. Now, just think about that. You go, and this will be the best Thanksgiving and Christmas you've had in years. You will be able to celebrate the life of Christ. Now, come on. Sexual integrity is such a great thing. So I just want to encourage that. Encourage you to join Club New Life. We send you 71 of the best teachings we've ever done. It's worth about $400, our way of saying thank you. You get access to a video library that people used to have to pay for. It's yours. It's a benefit of Club New Life.
And Steve, the last three videos that went up just this last Friday were from Alice Benton, Proactively Resolving Conflict, Love with Your Time and Attention, and social media comparison.
There you go.
So,
ooh,
really,
good titles.
Really good stuff. Yeah,
and really good material. Stuff. All right. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. Call right now. Let's see how many will call us on Halloween. You counter the darkness by bringing new light and new life to people all over the world. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But right now, let's bring some light and life to Linda from Dallas, Texas. She listens on KWRD. Hi there. How you doing? Linda.
Hello.
Hi. How are
Hello.
You? Hi.
Oh, I'm okay. I lost you somehow. Okay. Anyways, so the question I have is, I have a problem or bondage, whatever you want to call it, with helping or of believing that I have the Holy Spirit. And just to put that on the table, I have been dealing with this for a long time. I go to church. I've been to many therapists. I've been to a lot of counselors and kairos and you name it. And for some reason, I can't seem or I'm not able to believe. I've had a lot of disappointments in life, and I guess I feel like I'm mad at God, even though I say I'm not. But anyway, so that's where I'm at.
Okay, hold on now. You have a hard time believing what?
That I have the Holy Spirit. That I'm in. I feel like I'm in bondage. I can't seem to believe in a lot of, like, okay. When I look at the cross, and they say that, you know, Jesus died for me, and mm-hmm. I ask the Holy Spirit to come in my heart. I've done all that, but I feel like I look at Jesus and say, of course he died for me. Of course he did. And I don't feel, I guess, I know I sin. We've all sinned, but I know I've sinned, but I don't feel very sorry, I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're in a faith quagmire, could we say? How about that?
Yes, I am.
You're confused. And it revolves around, it seems like, you not feeling like you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That you're in bondage. It's a feeling of bondage. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm always trying to feel it, and I never feel it.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got a couple of things I want to say, but I'd love Alice. She's really the first Christian we've had on the program. No, I'm kidding. But Alice is a great woman of faith. Every one of our hosts is. Sherry is so committed in the faith, and I want to hear her thoughts, especially, you know, when I think about dealing with power of the Holy Spirit. I think about what Sherry has helped other people do. But Alice is the new kid on the block. So what do you say, Alice, to somebody who believes Jesus died on the cross, hard to feel what Jesus did?
Linda, I think that head-heart disconnect is something that a lot of us experience, where we believe it, but we can't feel it, at least not on a consistent basis. And it really stands out for me that you're taking such a courageous step of honesty with something in particular you disclosed already, which is that you're mad at God, but you say you're not. A lot of us feel like we can't express that we're angry at God, that we're not supposed to be angry at God. So if we hold those kind of feelings back, and if there are other things that you also hold back from the good, safe people in your life, that's what I think can really get in the way of our beliefs being felt in our heart. So I want you to think about disclosing as honestly as you have here with us, with other people in your life who know you and can come alongside and stay alongside you. I heard you say that you've seen lots of counselors, lots of therapists, and I wonder how much... Just finish the question, because I wonder how long you've spent with a safe group of people before moving to the next counselor or the next therapist. Do you let people get to know this side of you that's angry at God, that sins, and that has suffered a lot of disappointments in your life?
Yes, and that's why I don't understand, because it makes me sad, because I've been so disappointed. So I've always wanted to be a mom. I didn't get that. Fine. And God knows that, but I've told my husband, a lot of people know me, but the problem is once they get to know me and they hear my sadness, they don't want to do anything with me. Mm. So I'm just with my husband. So it's hard. I'll still tell the truth. I always have. My father-in-law has always told me, you always like to tell the truth, which I do. So I tell people how I feel. You're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you. If you don't have time, then don't ask me. But, I mean, I do. I constantly ask the Holy Spirit to fill me up so I can know him.
All right, Linda.
Yes.
There are several different issues here. And, you know, one of the reasons that we don't feel God's love is we're disconnected from God's people, right? Does that make sense? Because how's God going to love us other than, you know, through people? He loves it. When someone dies, we don't feel love and all that, but somebody comes along and is just there, then we feel the comfort of God through other folks. Well, what you've just said is, hey, you ask me a question. I don't care about you. I don't care whether or not you think I'm talking too long. You're just going to talk. And so that can disconnect you from people. When you say they don't care, they don't stay with you, well, you just said when you start talking, you expect them to listen all the way to the end, even if you know you might be saying more than somebody's comfortable with. So we've got an issue here, number one, of you being connected with other people in healthy relationship. Another huge issue is you've got a major disappointment in your life. Mm-hmm. I think it's a disappointment, and I'll turn it over to Sherry, that is at the level of traumatic disappointment in your life. But Sherry, I'll let you take it from here.
Well, hey, Linda, I want you to know I have a sisterhood connection with you because I, too, have never had a child. And so I know the ache that comes with not having ever had a child. It's real and it hurts deeply. But let me say this. Do you know what the name of the Holy Spirit is? Do you know what the Holy Spirit's called? Paraclete, which means comforter. And I have a hunch, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to take a wild guess, that you grew up in a home with a mom that didn't comfort you. Is that right? Did you have a mom that held your heart and would hear you when you were in distress? Did you have a mom that asked about you and cared about your heart?
No.
Okay.
And my dad, they argued all the time. I came up from a very argumentative family.
Okay. So do you know what? It makes all the sense in the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's been hard for you to attach with the Holy Spirit. Because when we grow up without comfort, and in your case, it's not just mom, it's mom and dad. Right? You grew up in a war zone. When we grow up in a war zone like that, it's not, I kind of want to help you peel back some of the shame, because I think you're carrying some shame or feeling bad, like you're doing something wrong in light of your relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, where I actually think that this idea of experiencing comfort, I had somebody tell me this week. They said, you know, Sherry, I could have read this in a book, but unless I felt what it feels like to actually have comfort, I wouldn't know what it's supposed to be. And so somewhere in your healing, my dear, it's you in this earthly realm, someone has to blaze that trail with you. Someone has to help hold your heart in a way that you can viscerally begin to feel comfort. It's going to have to be learned because you didn't get it. It's not that you don't want it. You want it so bad, and you actually want the comforter. But it's that you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to receive comfort. You don't know how to soak it in just because you didn't get it.
So if the Holy Spirit is the comforter and you have never fully been comforted by another human being, comfort's an alien feeling. It's no wonder you don't really experience the Holy Spirit's comfort. So what do we do about that? All right, so Alice, what do we do about that? Sherry, what does she do about that?
So my first thing is we've done some shows on something called EMDR, right? It's kind of a funky kind of therapy, but it's a therapy that is powerful to help get into your tear zone, to get into your hurts. And when I sit with people and I'm doing the EMDR, they'll cry. And I hold all kinds of space for them when they cry. And sometimes I even cry as they're crying. I don't know about you, Alice, but sometimes you might tear up when you're doing it.
Sure.
Because you're moved. And they get to see that I'm moved by their pain. That's comfort. You don't need somebody who's going to push away from you. You need somebody who's going to press into you as you cry and cry with you. What's your thoughts, Alice?
Linda, I'd also have you explore, do you push away from people? Do you do something that overwhelms them? We'll come right back with you.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th to the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Linda, and we're talking about comfort, and we're talking about memories of and not being comforted. And which one of you want to continue here before
I do.
We go to the next call?
I do,
yeah.
Steve. Because, Linda, I want to gently give you what might be a difficult truth. As you express that your husband is the only person that seems to be consistently staying in relationship with you, there may be something about you that overwhelms people, kind of like what Steve was describing. Or people may push away from you, or you may keep people at arm's length, even though it's the last thing you want. We humans are quirky that way, that the very thing we want, we somehow can keep it away. We can keep ourselves away from it. We undermine the very thing that we want. So I would ask you to bring that to your husband if he's a trustworthy person. If you could ask him that question, what is it that I do that interferes with relationship? Because I so badly want relationship. And a therapist can also help you with that if you stick with them long term. And you may have to shop around before you find the right one. But you may need months to a year with one therapist so that you can get what Sherry was talking about.
What we're looking for are taking a lot of unresolved, confusing things, integrating them together to where, you know, you truly feel comfort from others, connection to others, and there's this peace within you because you're not anxious in the presence of someone else. You're not trying to control the other person or allowing them to control you. That's really what we're struggling with or striving for. Now, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. It's a very practical, I think, a very practical book that could really help you. And I'll get that to you. But we hope and pray something we've said has meant something good for you here today. We'll ask people to pray for you. You know, a lot of times, folks, whenever we have a disconnection with God, we have, first of all, say, is there something I'm doing that I don't have victory over? I'm still repeating this same addictive thing, codependent thing, this sin, whatever it is. That disconnects us from God. Second thing we have to look at, am I disconnected from other people? Am I falling short of their expectations? Is there irresponsibility in the relationship? Then the third thing, if I don't feel connected to God who is controlling everything, is it because I'm wanting to control everything? Mm-hmm. I'm playing God with other people? You do this. You stop that. I need this. I don't need that. You let me, you know, that's you playing God with somebody else. Well, you're going to be disconnected with the God that wants to control that other person or have the person surrender to him. These are things that we can look at, practical things, when we don't feel the presence of God, the love of God, or the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's my challenge to you. What are you doing to alienate God, alienate others, play God with God, or play God with other people? And you know what? It's no wonder we end up in a place of doubt, a faith crisis, when we're a controlling human being in the face of the one who is in control of everything. Let's go to our next caller. I don't think my call screener can bring up Leanne from Cincinnati, Ohio. WCVX is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Doing okay. How can we help you today?
Yes. My question is basically, how do you know, I guess, that you've truly forgiven someone, or what does that really look like?
Mm-hmm.
Just some background on my question. I have a family member that a couple of years ago really did a lot of harm to myself and a bunch of other family members and basically alienated all of us, said all kinds of harsh things that weren't even true, threatened people's family with harm, threatened jobs. I mean, just did all kinds of stuff. And I felt like I finally moved to a place where I have forgiven the person, but I think I was challenged a little by someone in my family, like, well, have you really? And I'm like, well, I thought I had. But I don't want to have a relationship with that person anymore. I can't say that I truly trust them. I haven't even had a conversation with them, but I feel like I've forgiven them.
Got it. Well, here's the deal. The person you were talking to, if they were suggesting that forgiveness means that you endorse the other person, that's wrong. That you enable the other person, or that you forget what they did to you, or that you will now be in a relationship with them as if nothing ever happened, that is not accurate. Because we can forgive and be smart also. If you steal money from me, I will forgive you for that. I will not let you carry my wallet ever again, in, you know, unless you know, maybe 5 years of down the way, I've seen this amazing transformation. If you slap me, I will try to turn the other cheek, but I'm not going to put my face out there the next time I'm around you. That's silly. That's stupid.
Okay.
So forgiveness means I release you to God, and I don't I don't judge you anymore. I don't have a grudge against you. You're not in my life as far as negative feelings. In fact, I pray for you. Good things to happen for you. Because I forgive you. But I'm not going to let you walk right back in that same territory and hurt me again. Not until you've shown me you have truly transformed your life. And nothing you can say will make me believe you're transformed. I'll see it. Then I'll believe it. We'll be back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Alice, you had a comment here before we move on.
I mean, it's hard to add to your brilliant answers, Steve.
Oh, yeah,
but
right.
Just an encouragement to Leanne that, as Steve was explaining, that forgiveness is a decision, but then there's a mess of emotions that also need to be processed in order to feel like you've forgiven that person. And that timing is completely individual. But I just hope that you're talking about the hurt, the anger, and the betrayal that you experienced by that family member, and that will help you resolve some of those emotions so that you can feel the forgiveness better.
Okay. All right. Really, really glad that you called. You know, I was talking with another ministry head one day, and he was saying, I don't know what to do. My board says I need to make up with this guy, and he is attacking the ministry. I said, well, you know, that's easy for a board member to say, but, you know, if somebody's got a gun and they're still shooting you, is that really the time to make up mm-hmm. with them? Maybe that's the time to bring some other people together and try to get them to put down the gun. Then we've got a chance to make up. All right, let's go to our next caller. I'll let you guys pick whoever that is.
How about Susan, Chicago, Illinois?
On SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Susan, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
Doing all right. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a question. If you have any recommendations. I've been married some years, and I have a two-year-old son, but my husband is, I'd say, maybe narcissistic, and he is very difficult to communicate with, and we've been to marriage counselors, and the marriage counselors say that he needs individual therapy because he's abusive verbally, and he's not wanting to go, and I'm just kind of at my wit's end on what to do.
Okay, so well, What's something that you think is like the most, just the worst thing, or one of the worst things he's done to you in his verbal abuse? What's he said to you or accused you of, or help us understand it?
Oh, he's called me names. He's called me selfish and a pill popper. He told me if I got fat when I was pregnant, he divorced me.
Okay.
The other day.
So what have you done in response to that in the past? And if you can hold your phone really still, if you can hold your phone really still, it'll help us. What have you done in response to that?
I either try to ignore it or I try to calmly defend myself. Sometimes I get to the point of frustration where I blow up. I've gotten up into marriage counseling. That helped a little bit, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've threatened divorce. I've talked to an attorney.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with you, Sherry? What do you think she could do at this stage?
So, first off, I'm sorry. It sounds really unsafe emotionally. And when you're in a relationship, did it get worse once you had your son?
It got worse when I was pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's so weird, and this is such a pattern with folks that struggle with narcissism at, you know, at some level, is the very fact that your energy, right, even in your womb, is going away from them creates fear inside of them. They feel like they're losing you. They feel like you're going to change. They feel out of control. I mean, all these things are happening underneath a simple thing. A beautiful thing like pregnancy. And so it can create crazy making for us when we're on the other side of it, because it just doesn't make sense to us, right? It seems senseless. But I imagine, do you know much of your husband's past? Do you much know much of his growing up? I mean,
I've gotten different accounts from different people about it. I think it was pretty emotional.
It was pretty what?
Emotionally unsafe,
yeah,
in his home environment.
So he is in a reactive place, a hurtful place, nonetheless. I'm not making his behavior okay, because it's not. But the reason they've been telling you he needs individual work is because he's got some wounds and he is reacting with you. So what is keeping you from placing a boundary down around his need to get help? Like, a boundary is really about your safety. A boundary is about the safety of your son. A boundary is about your sanity. What have you done in light of setting something in place to help wake him up to how necessary it is for him to seek help?
Well, I keep asking him and telling him, and he says we have no money, but, you know, there's money for other things, and he just argues with me, and it goes nowhere, and I just get to the point of frustration. I can't have a conversation where anything is ever resolved. There's no problem ever resolved.
So why don't you make an appointment with the marriage therapist and tell him, this is the time I'm going to be there. We're paying for us to get help. I'm going anyway. You don't go. You're wasting our money.
Well, the marriage therapist wants to work with him individually at this point.
I got to tell you, I really think it's important you guys work together, you know, on the marriage. He's got some work to do, but you've got to have a marriage. Because that work he's going to do is going to be a long-term project there. So what you've done in asking him to go hasn't worked. So maybe you could talk with the marriage therapist of saying, what about we, you and me, meet, hoping that by the second or third time he will come. And then we come, and then I'll drop out and you work with him, or whatever she thinks best. Alice, you have some thoughts on this?
I do, Steve. There's some ugly questions that I have, unfortunately. But to hear that he's accusing you of being a pill popper, oftentimes we accuse other people of the very thing that we might be doing. Yeah. So I'm wondering if there's substance use involved, possible pornography use, because what we see is such a level of anger in a man that's secretly using pornography. And if you have that information, those are ugly things, but that might lead you to the correct kind of help, because mm-hmm. we help with those very issues. And then to go back to your son, as Sherry was talking about, knowing that you also get to the point of frustration and exploding verbally with your husband, and you know that your two-year-old is exposed to that tension in your home, whether or not he hears every fight, it takes such a toll on him. So whether or not your husband is willing to get help, you may need to stop trying to convince him, but that you take action, like Steve is saying, you take action to protect yourself and your son, because that kind of verbal arguments and tension does take a toll on your son. So I'd even ask you to consider with your marriage counselor, has it gotten to the point of risk where you might need some physical separation from your husband, and in the hopes that that would wake him up to getting the help that he obviously needs?
What do you think?
I think it has gotten to that point. I don't think there's pornography or addiction, so to speak. There's a lot of control, very controlling type of behavior. It's more all about control.
So, Susan, if you say, yes, I do think it's the point where we need some separation, then I'd ask you to word it somewhere along the lines of, I want you to get help. I've got this appointment for you with a therapist. I hope you show up to it. But until I see some signs of you becoming safer, our son and I will need to stay with my mom or with a family member for a little while until we see that you are willing to take steps to change. We need some proof of safety for our home.
Okay.
Again, the whole goal there is not that there be divorce and separation. It's to get his attention, for him to finally say, I hear you, I get it, and I'm going to do some work. Now, we've got a great book in the Arterburn Wellness Series. It's called Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissistic Personality Disorder. I'm going to send that to you. A lot of you folks have benefited from this book. And if you think the person that you're with, dating, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, or child, is a narcissist, this is going to help you understand them and actually love them. You know, the very thing that has caused this deep wound that we see, rather than them being open to being loved and cared for and the wound healed, they protect themselves. They're scared to death. They're so inadequate that, and they've succeeded in certain ways, but the inadequacy, the emptiness of the soul is there. This will help you break through understanding and loving a person who is dealing with narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of reminders for you. If you're battling drug or alcohol addiction, New Life can help connect you to the treatment you need. And if someone you care about is refusing help, it might be time to schedule an intervention. Either way, you can give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more about treatment and interventions. Also, if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you'll get special offers, connection, and encouragement. Steve?
Thank you, Terry, and we'll go to our next caller. If you're listening, if you're on the line, hold on, but we'll be in the studio another couple of hours after this at 1-800-229-3000. Guys, who do you want to go to?
We want to go to James in Philly, Pennsylvania, listening on WDAC.
WDAC. James, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Could be better. That's why I'm calling.
Okay. Well, how could we help?
Well, what I'm facing is my sibling, her son, 16 years old, in the past years, progressively drugs, alcohol, premarital relations, smoking. The police now are involved. And my sibling, it's one of those things where you try to, you know, encourage, you know, 1 Thessalonians, you try to encourage versus what can I do financially? You try to read books, you know, send texts with encouraging words. But there's just this part where it's hard when you start fearing your sister's going to have a heart attack or a stroke, and she's scared of her own son. And the father's out of the picture for 10 years, and the son, and just the son used to disdain the father because he was 8 years old when the father left. And the father left the family for another man and moved across the country. So,
this boy. You stepped in, and what happened?
I stepped in, and we lived very close at that time, and, you know, took over like football, basketball, Boy Scouts, church things. And then the last couple years, it's, wait a minute. Uncle James is kind of the weird Christian, and I don't believe in God. And you know,
got
my sister.
What's your question?
He doesn't
ask us.
Involved. So,
okay, so what's the question for us? We don't have a lot of time. I want
to. So the question is, I guess there's a guilt part where you're like, I feel bad as a Christian because it's like, oh, all I can do is pray now, and it's like, no, that's one of the most powerful weapons we have. But there's also the part is, what else can I do? What else can you do as a Christian when you're seeing a train wreck happening and you're just standing there and it's like, this is family. I would give my life for this boy, but there's nothing else I can do right now.
And did you say he's involved with drugs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the mother doing about the drug problem?
She contacted the police, and he's getting tested at school.
Good.
But right now he's on a trial. He's on a probation period. And if he fails, then it goes to the next step where then there's a judge involved. But his mentality is everybody does this. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm almost out of time. Sherry, I'm just going to ask you to give him your best wisdom here on what you think might help the most.
So, James, if there was a train wreck near your house, within a block from your house, would you stay in your home?
No, ma'am.
What would you do?
I would run and help, but then my question is, what happens if you're trying to pull somebody from the train wreck and they're pulling away and running back into the fiery train?
OK. Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you let them run back into the fiery train?
Nope.
Of course. I want you to show up. I want you to show up at his school. I want you to tolerate his anger right now. I want you to tolerate his pushback. He needs a man to pursue him. His dad left. He doesn't even know how to soak you in. Do not bring a verse. Do not bring any scripture. Do not spiritualize this. You show up as flesh and blood right now, and you walk to that train wreck, and you just show up. Because I know underneath that 16-year-old is a scared little boy. And he's using, but he is a scared little boy. And to have you just stand there and have you tell him what you told us, I'd give my life for you. I'd give my life for you. And if right now that means I'm just showing up, even maybe when you don't know what to do with me, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. That's what you do. What do you think
I agree wholeheartedly. And the thing that we progressed is, and I agree wholeheartedly about the de-spiritualize it, which I did. And it was just like, hey, let's go out, grab a bite, not say anything.
Perfect.
But the problem now is if I go over to the house, he won't come out of the bedroom.
Okay, you show up at a school.
Right.
You show up at a school.
All right.
You just show up. And stand there. Hey, I just care about you.
Let me say this.
Just make contact. Even if I don't talk to him, but he sees that I'm there.
Yes, that's it right now.
Okay. And also,
that's my thought.
Go to the house.
Thank you.
Go to the house. And let him know that you're there to see him. And let him stay in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then, when you can, you go back to the house and do the same thing. Because I think, here's the thing. When you hear this spiritualizing complaint, he might be saying, he loves me as long as I'm making him feel good about himself. But does he love me enough when I'm not like building up his ego and saying thank you and oh, it's so great to see you? So answer that question for him and show him that you love him no matter what he says to you or the way he treats you. That's what God does, pursues us relentlessly. Okay? Glad you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I'm going to send you every man, God's man, some great stuff of character to go over with him, and I'm going to send you another thing, 100 Days of Character, and there's just some great things there that you can mention, not as a spiritual concept, but if you get that chance to put into his life, it's a great guide of what to say. Anybody else, if you could help us, a gift of any amount here on Halloween, boy, we would sure appreciate it. And I'll send you Dave's book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, because Romans 12:2 tells us that we could literally transform our lives by changing the way that we think. Now, this Friday in Orange County is every man's battle. Oh, my goodness. Why don't you go? Ladies, call. If you know your husband's messing around with pornography, just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, he's messing around, what do I do? You might decide to do nothing after you talk. But so many times when people think it's hopeless, they call us and we give them a little instruction. And what do you know? He's there 2 days later, 3 days later. Guys, especially you KKLA listeners and all the other stations around Southern California, it's so easy for you. You drive there on Friday. You drive home on Sunday. You're a different man. Every man's battle. Restore is November the 9th for you women who have dealt with someone like this. And then our brand new workshop, Finding Freedom. It's the New Life Weekend, January 25th. Weight, guilt, shame, codependency, and a soulless kind of life. All of these things we address at the New Life Weekend. We want you there. So please come and join us for that. And then Intimacy in Marriage is February 15th. But as we close, please help us if you can by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But I am especially feeling on this Halloween day, far beyond anything you'll see on Halloween, is the evil of sexual lust and perversion and the use of pornography in affairs, please call us if you are that or you're married to that. 1-800.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.